red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.
A helicopter flies over trees. White text appears, a Netflix original documentary, a No Ficción production. Executive producer, Gael Garcia Bernal. From above, a dirt road cuts through a dense forest and leads to a tall fence. Producers, Daniela Alatorre, Elena Fortes. Bushes and tall grass line the Rio Grande, Rio Bravo, United States-Mexico border.
This is an incredible place for migrants.
A Border Patrol vehicle drives on a road parallel to the rust-colored border fence.
Where they stop and water and get some food before they continue their migration.
A vehicle follows tire tracks along a dirt road flanked by forest.
The most important migratory corridor in North America is deep South Texas.
A light-colored bird with black-tipped wings rests on a branch.
And right now we have the fall migration going on.
A flock of birds flies.
The migration is on. The border wall is no barrier to birds. I think birds bring people together from both sides of the Rio Grande.
Text appears, directed by Otilia Portillo Padua. A trail of birds follows the triangular formation of the flock. A title appears, Birders. The silhouette of a bird perches within the letter D. Rain falls on a brown body of water and on a field of low green plants. A map of the southern U.S. appears with the text, Laguna Atascosa Wildlife Refuge, Texas, United States. A black pickup rolls to a stop beside the brown body of water. The gray-haired driver peers through binoculars. Text appears, Richard Moore, wildlife photographer.
Those stilts are really enjoying the fresh water. They're bathing.
Richard gazes toward stilts trudging through a shallow pool.
Black-neck stilts. Looks like they're wearing little tuxedos. Really cool birds.
Adult stilts loom over six young stilts sitting in the water. Richard stands outside his truck and sets a video camera on the gravel. By the rear of the pickup, he holds a microphone. Then, Richard walks along muddy earth toward the wetland. He carries his video camera in one hand and a tripod over his shoulder.
Back during World War II, in the early stages of the war, this was a training area for fighter pilots. And there's absolutely thousands of spent bullets just all around us. There's 30 caliber and 50 caliber machine gun slugs. And now it's a wildlife refuge.
Richard stands behind his video camera resting on the tripod.
I think I like it better as a wildlife refuge.
He surveys the area. Wind turbines spin in the distance.
We've been trying to establish a corridor where animals can actually safely travel through native habitat along the Rio Grande corridor. So there's a lot of reforestation going on right now, and they're trying to link up these little islands of habitat so that the animals can make safe passage along the wildlife corridor.
White birds dig their beaks around low-standing greenery. Now, a map of the southernmost point of Texas appears with the text, Cactus Creek Ranch. A man wearing a cap sticks an upright pole into the ground. He unfurls a net.
I have recaptured birds between years that breed in Canada, and I've caught them in the same net the next year. And one of the reasons that we band is to show that. And one thing that I hope to show in the future is that migrants also do the same thing, that birds use the same areas during migration every year. And so then we can put a value on those type of areas and try to conserve them.
Women stick more poles into the ground. Netting stretches between a distance of poles.
Call me if you find one.
A dark bird clings to the net.
When a bird flies into the net, the first thing you have to do is you have to decide which way he hit the net. So what we do is we go in and we secure the legs. And then we have one more wing, and he's out.
The man in the cap frees the dark bird.
And this is a northern water thrush. It is a warbler that is just migrating through.
He blows on the bird's underside.
But migrants, it's very important that they put on fat because they sometimes have to fly long distances without eating.
He holds the bird upright.
So if you look, you'll see that this bird has some fat.
The man in the cap removes some of the water thrushes down. Then he holds a red bird.
This is the northern cardinal. It's a male. The other bands that I put on birds are aluminum. But this one, because he bites so hard, that we have to put stainless steel bands on him or he'll press them in.
The cardinal looks at the man's fingers holding it in place. The man, Mark Conway, teacher and birdlander, locks eyes with the cardinal intently.
Yeah, he's just wanting to bite me again.
Next, the man holds a green bird with a blue face.
This is a green jay.
The man grabs a leg band.
Each band has a unique 9-digit number, like here in the U.S., like our Social Security number to identify it. So when that number goes on this bird, no other bird in North America will have this number. The green jay is a valley specialty, and this is one of the birds that bird watchers will pay a lot of money to come down and see.
A sign reads, Welcome Birders. Then a sign reads, Alamo Inn.
This is where birders come to find accommodation and books and guiding and tours.
Text appears, Alamo, Hidalgo County.
When I moved to this area, I didn't have a job. And my wife said, well, let's open a bed and breakfast. And I had to figure out who's going to stay here. So we focused our marketing on bird watchers. And we're world famous. We get birders from over 40 different countries coming here to stay with us.
A white-haired man points at a map.
This little circle of land here in Texas and in Mexico, it's very rich in bird life. And that in turn brings a few hundred thousand bird watchers to this area every year. And they spend $500 million and they sustain 6,600 jobs.
Keith Hackland, owner, Alamo Inn.
Come on.
He holds a waterfowl.
He's our yard security animal. We used to have a dog back here and they were friends, but we don't have the dog anymore, but we still have Guardian.
A flock of birds flies overhead.
Yeah, they look like Mississippi kites flying over right now. They're on their way south along the Mexico coast. That's one of the wonderful things about living here is migration is very strong.
A road flanked by green bushes and short trees recedes behind a vehicle.
We have more birds than any place else in the United States. And one of the reasons we have all those remarkable birds is we have tropical birds that come from Mexico.
Richard Moore stands beside his pickup. He raises binoculars and surveys his surroundings. A green-bellied bird flies off a bare branch. Subtitles, Richard.
There are a lot of mosquitoes here.
Gee, well, we had a lot of rain.
At the Ituria Ranch, Richard swats around his face.
The King Ranch, the Kennedy Ranch, and the Ituria Ranch make up a vast swath of over 900,000 acres of ranch land in deep South Texas. And many people refer to it as the last great habitat. It's important to everyone who likes migratory birds. It's essential to migratory birds because migratory birds are so dependent on every stretch of their migration. They have to have food, water, and shelter in deep South Texas. They have to have food, water, and shelter in Mexico.
Mark Conway inspects a brown bird's wing.
This little guy is an Impidnax flycatcher. Last week, this bird may have been in Canada. We like them here in South Texas because they eat a lot of mosquitoes.
Then he holds an orange-headed bird.
This is a hooded oreo. This is a bird that breeds in South Texas. This bird tomorrow will probably be in Mexico.
Hands release the hooded oriole and it flies away. Now, a pair of dirt tracks forms a road beneath a dim sky. The sun hangs low behind lush treetops. The blades of a wind pump spin in front of the twilight sky. Richard strolls past the wind pump through tall grass. Richard.
Look out for rattlesnakes.
Then he stands beside a pond.
You know, people are so attracted to birds. For one thing, they're very visual.
A flock of birds flies near clouds.
But I think really what inspires us most about birds is their freedom, their ability to fly wherever and whenever they want.
The flock continues past orange clouds.
There are more birds that pass through here than any place else in North America.
Richard stares off.
It's a magical place.
An owl perches and the moon shines. Next, sunlight reflects off a white radome beside the National Weather Service weather forecast office in Brownsville. Inside, meteorologist Brian Miller stands near a computer.
Well, at the moment, it's September, so we do have some radar reflectivity that we're going to look at here showing what would be biologics. And it could possibly be birds because this is the time of year that we could see birds migrating south for the winter. So let's take a look at some of these images.
Chris Birchfield.
So here in the Harlingen area, you can see this morning birds starting to take off from their spot. We also have dozens of radars across the country, so you can sort of, you know, go to the next radar and view them in the path also.
So if people were studying birds, they would have a pretty good pinpoint location of where to start looking for them if they were to go now and look in that spot.
Now, a bird of prey glides under a partly cloudy sky. At Benson Rio Grande Valley State Park, the Galindo family, birders, and counting volunteers watch through binoculars. John Kay, Countmaster at Hawkwatch, stands nearby.
Got one TV turkey vulture out there, John, in the middle of that darker gray cloud. Oh, he's kiting.
Yes. Beautiful bird.
Oh, yeah, I see him now.
It'd be nice if he wasn't so far away.
Yeah, he's hunting.
Oh, wow.
Man, he's just motionless in the air.
What we're doing this morning is hawk watch. Twice a year, the hawks migrate as far north as Alaska all the way down to as far south as Argentina. And then in the spring, they move back. Suppose at the age of 5 that your parents abandoned you. Migration is built into their DNA. It's something that they just cannot resist the urge to do. These immature hawks have to learn absolutely everything they're going to do to survive once they start migration.
Paintings of birds on a table.
This is a red-tailed hawk. I actually painted it up here.
Yeah, when she comes up to the hawk tower, she likes to paint. And the reason we're here, then the hawk tower is here, is that a lot of fly zones, migratory fly zones, pass right through here. So we get a lot of birds from the east and birds from the west. And so we get to see a lot of different species of migratory birds, and especially hawks.
The young girl holds paintings.
A painted red star?
Painted red star, yeah. The reason we count them is to know what is here now, and the next year, or why, if there are less birds, why are there less birds? Maybe something's happening to them along the way. Because oftentimes, you know, there's danger along the way. There's always danger for the birds, but there's sometimes it's danger that's man-made, and that's something that we can do about it.
Then, Madeline Sandifer, birder and activist.
We are about to enter Sable Palm Sanctuary, which is a very important spot for birders. We will have the special experience of going behind the fence. Well, because they cannot build the fence in the river or just behind the river, because the river, especially at this location, meanders. And so they had to build it behind what they call a levee. We're just going up the levee now, as you can see. Normally there is a Border Patrol vehicle here, but not this morning. So we are fine.
Madeline drives her SUV past the United States and Mexico border fence. On a hilltop road, the Galindo family ambles, glancing at their surroundings. A Border Patrol vehicle approaches the family. Next, environmentalist stickers cling to the back of an SUV. Then, Madeline and another woman approach a nature trail.
So we can actually go birding from here.
Oh, I hope so. I haven't seen any birds.
Are we going up the native trail or the up? I could not see
the yellow V end of the tree.
I didn't see that part very clearly, but the rest of the markings look like Altamira, yeah. So.
Altamira more probable than hooded, I would say.
Yeah.
An oriole stands on a branch. The women move along a narrow dirt path.
Oh, that's a green jay. I'm hearing green jays.
A green jay glances around from atop a tree branch. It takes a deep breath, and its feathers rise and fall. A sign reads, danger.
I didn't realize that.
Okay, there's another. Is that it right there? Stop.
The Galindo family gazes through binoculars.
Kind of far, but that might be good.
That's the kingbird.
Yeah, it's a mockingbird.
It's a mock.
A mockingbird stands atop a tree.
That's a nice picture with that.
We're just supposed to be birding up here. We're working our way down.
The family walks beside a tall fence. Then Madeline and the woman.
I'm not thinking warbler or migratory.
No.
Bird. It's something bigger, more native. We could see something on the water here.
Joyce Hamilton, birder and activist.
It is significant that we're in the United States, but we're further south than parts of Mexico right now. There are parts of Mexico that are north of us. And that's not typically understood by most people who have not been down here before. or who don't really put that in perspective about where this boundary really is.
Our son always refers to our residence as being in northern Tamaulipas rather than southern Texas.
We simply have a river that runs through an area that shares the same wildlife.
Santa Ana National Wildlife Refuge.
My family and I do birding here because it has habitat that animals need. We're at the Rio Grande River. That's Mexico across the other side, and they're keeping cattle over there. I want to go to Mexico to see what it's like there, and I've heard that the weather's much better than here, and I want to see if they have different things, different types of birds and hawks and chickens, I guess.
The youngest, Galindo, smiles. A dragonfly stands on a frond.
Their habitats have been defiled and destroyed. We're literally covering large areas with concrete and asphalt. And then also the fact that we're closing off areas, which, you know, potentially that will happen with border fencing, continuation of the current plan that we've seen, would mow down 150 feet on either side of where the fence would be, literally make it just caliche road and no more plant life or wildlife support. So vegetation means wildlife. If that's destroyed, then their habitat is gone.
A green and yellow bird perches on a branch. A sign reads, "No entry beyond this point."
I think we're very fortunate to be able to be here at a time like this, when it's still accessible and when it's still protected.
Keith stands by an open gate leading to a street outside his yard.
Birds move around much more easily than people do, and they go where things are good for them. Bird can fly 300 miles in a day. For them, moving around Texas and Mexico is easy.
A falcon stares off. On the ground, Keith looks around.
I'm afraid to travel in Mexico at this time. A lot of stories of people who've been hurt or killed, and I would like things to be a little more peaceful so that I can start traveling in Mexico again.
Subtitles.
It seems like I'm crossing the bridge from Matamoros to Vallehermoso. You can see the meadows and the rivers and hear the lovely bird songs.
Then a map of northeast Mexico appears with the text El Cielo Biosphere Reserve in Tamaulipas, Mexico. At night, an SUV drives onto a country property beside a darkened building. Then a man walks with a flashlight.
We used to have a lot of bird watching tourism from the U.S. here, but they don't come here anymore due to the lack of security throughout Tamaulipas and along the U.S.-Mexico border. There's very little tourism now.
Text appears, Esteban Barones, bird guide. Esteban yelps as he walks.
I've guided people from England, from all over the world. People call me Blue Mockingbird because I can imitate bird calls.
He holds a fist to his lips and looks up at trees. Esteban holds a device with a speaker. He shines the flashlight into the trees and aims the device upward.
It's coming closer.
The flashlight illuminates the rain-soaked leaves and branches overhead. Then he shines two flashlights. An owl darts its head. Esteban gazes upward. The owl takes off. Now, at daytime, fog hovers over a cliff face and forests below. leaves sway in the breeze. Esteban.
Here at El Cielo, we have 216 resident birds and 170 migratory species. They come here escaping the bad weather, the snow, and the cold in the north of the planet. They escape to the south.
Esteban looks at the forest canopy above him. He cups his hands around his mouth and aims his lips upward. Esteban glances up with binoculars. A bird pecks into tree bark, sporadically glancing around.
For me, before my training, they were food. I ate them. I didn't realize the harm I was doing because there are unique species here. Any animal, no matter how small, is on our planet for a reason. Sometimes people think it doesn't sing or it's ugly, but it's doing something in nature, something good for itself and for the rest of us.
A yellow-breasted bird, then a red-bellied bird, survey their surroundings. Esteban stands under a forest canopy and stares upward. A yellow bird flaps away, and a bird with blue wings chews on green food. On a branch, an owl shifts its gaze. It flies off. A flock of birds flaps in the sky. Then, in the Laguna Madre and Rio Bravo Delta, Juanita and Meli Dapa, bird monitors. Juanita.
We obtain many benefits from birds. If they give us so much, why not preserve and protect? Building that wall will harm nature most of all. They don't know anything about borders. Animals don't know about that.
A boat moves through a waterway. Meli.
This is a very interesting and important ecosystem because it's a corridor for migrant birds. They feed and rest and continue their journey.
A gray-winged bird trots through shallow water. Juanita.
Birds are beautiful, but they're also indicators showing the health of our system, our ecosystem. It caught our attention the moment we arrived, but we didn't have this awareness before to care for, protect, and preserve. Once we started learning, now we get upset over any actions, seeing humans to be so thoughtless. Nature is so wise, generous, because it gives us everything we need. Now I'm going to cry.
Juanita wipes her eyes. Then they look across the wetland. Meli.
Look at that line over there.
Juanita.
Look at the ducks.
Meli.
Look over there too.
Juanita.
Black ibis too.
Meli.
There are some black-necked stilts, Himantopus mexicanus. I love the way they look.
Juanita.
Look, look, there they go.
Meli.
Wow, no way. There are more than 200. We'll probably see 500. We've never seen so many.
Juanita.
Yes, I have. I've seen a lot.
Meli.
You have.
Juanita.
I identify with the Fregata magnificence because my dad was a fisherman and we were always migrating until we arrived here and we liked it. We fell in love with this place and we decided to stay here.
A line of birds flies at dusk. Calm waves ripple around Juanita and Meli's boat. Juanita.
She isn't a migrant. She's a resident. She was born here and she stayed here.
Meli looks across the water.
54, 55, 56.
She looks through binoculars. Pelicans perch on a narrow strip of land. Meli.
Who knows? Maybe in the future I'll do what my mom does. You never know.
The pelicans fly away. Next, a lone bird flaps through a twilight sky. Gray birds with white bellies stand in a still sheet of water. A speckled bird pokes its long beak into a shallow pool. A black-necked stilt stalks through shallows. A map of northeast Mexico appears with the text, Villa Rica Beach, Veracruz. Separated from the ocean by the sand, a calm body of water sits near the base of a tree-covered mountain. Dark birds of prey glide overhead. The birds twist and turn in the blue sky. They all move in the same direction. Another bird of prey breaks off from the flock, Cliffs tower over thick vegetation. A shack stands atop a hill surrounded by greenery, bordering the beach. Text appears, River Raptors, Kanzaburo. A sign on the shack reads, Welcome, Banding Station. Inside, Diane Espinosa, raptor bander, holds a pigeon wearing a vest.
This is a small leather vest, and it greatly lessens the chances that it will be eaten when attacked. When the raptor is attracted for its capture and banding, to then be liberated.
Diane passes by a bearded man working in tall grass. The bearded man.
It's important to check, otherwise it will leave with its vest.
The bearded man, Sam Henderson, volunteer bander, places the pigeon tied to a string under a small trap. Sam.
Right now, I'm part of this project, River of Raptors in Veracruz. I don't know how it happened, but life brought me here and I became crazy about birds of prey. Because of the geography, this is the channel because they fly from north to south. They don't have any other option. This is the only project in Mexico that works closely with and bans birds of prey.
Zintia Lopez, biologist.
Something's migrating to the mountains.
She watches from inside the shack. Diane.
When I was in elementary school, I knew there was an observation site at my community sports field. I would go there in the evenings with the birders, as the locals call them. I would spend the evenings there. And now we're part of the project. That vocalization we're hearing is a tropical kingbird. It works for us because as soon as it starts vocalizing, the predator has been detected. Sometimes we can't see it, but the bird has, and then what we do is we move the fledgling.
Zintia, to the right over your post. It's a harrier.
A harrier glides low over the land around the shack. Zintia and Diane watch the harrier fly away. Diane.
Well, that one ignored us.
In the shack, Zintia peers through binoculars. She looks out an opening in the wall. Diane paces the room. Two birds of prey fly above them. Zintia leans out the doorway and looks toward the sky. Diane.
Sam.
Zintia.
Hurry.
On the sand outside the shack, a harrier lands and steps on the pigeon. Inside the shack, Diane pulls on the rope attached to the pigeon. Later, a worker holds the harrier. Diane.
That's what we want. Magic inside this hideout.
Outside, a woman releases a bird of prey from her arm. The shack recedes in the distance. From high above, the flourishing green land borders the light brown sands of the isolated beach. Two raptors soar in the blue sky. Then, a spiral staircase leads to a viewing platform atop a one-story building. A map of northeast Mexico appears with the text, River Raptors, Chichicoxtli. On the platform, birdwatching scopes sit on tripods in front of gray-haired men. A man sits holding binoculars. Guide.
It came out of the cloud. It's there in the blue part, almost to the diffuse cloud.
Visitor.
Is it a species?
Guide.
Yes, it's a species.
Four gray-haired men mingle, each wearing a piece of viewing equipment. A tally counter rests on a stack of five birdwatching books. A black-haired man lowers binoculars and raises two fingers. He signs as another man speaks for him. Another guide.
Now, around 7 p.m., the birds fly down to rest. To rest for the night and then go on. Continue the next day, starting around 9 a.m. They get up and continue their migration.
The black-haired man raises binoculars and peers into the distance. The man at his side taps the black-haired man's shoulder and makes a swooping gesture. They communicate with sign language. Then, six raptors fly together. Next, Bob Straub, bird guide, stands with the black-haired man, Angel Peña, expert raptor counter. Bob.
Ah, the hook-billed kite. Like this.
They sign to each other with three fingers over their stomachs.
My first year here was 1997. We met Angel. He was helping out and watching with the hawk watch. It wasn't a nice tower. It was a little scaffolding in the middle of the soccer field.
A thumb clicks a tally counter.
The Veracruz River Raptors is extremely important for the monitoring of the complete population of several species of birds.
Counter.
And your line violin?
Another counter.
More or less?
Counter.
About 82,000 for the day?
Another counter.
Approximately. There are a lot of broadwings.
Counter.
It's been about 100,000.
And then, of course, the environmental education impact, where you have kids and folks like Angel, visitors from the United States.
Pam Pritzel, birdwatcher.
Oh, I heard about this place over 30 years ago when I took a raptor class from a raptor biologist. And, you know, he talked about this place, and I've always wanted to come here, and I finally made it.
look into this area right here.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing.
Woman in glasses.
You have to look up to the highest parts of the tree.
She gestures.
Those birds use both our countries. They need to migrate back and forth. They need a healthy habitat, food to eat, places to live, and places to raise young.
Another woman.
It sounds like that, right?
A boy gestures. Woman in glasses.
Can you see them now?
Boy.
Yes. They're going in a straight line.
Woman in glasses.
Now count them. Should I lend you a clicker to count them? Count them. Use the binoculars.
She hands the boy binoculars. Light-colored birds crisscross in the sky. Woman in glasses.
Every time you see one, press it. That's it.
Singer.
Up by the river, I planted saffron and cinnamon. Saffron and cinnamon, pepper and cloves. Up, way up. Up and up and up they'll grow. Let the bells toll. Let the bells toll. They'll toll and they'll toll and they'll toll. When you go to the sea, when you go to the sea, I'll go with you. When you go to the sea, I'll go with you.
Woman in glasses.
These are white here and black here. So you can see there are two different ones. Now look at them and try to identify them to see which ones are different. Here they are, look. Up there, Joshua.
The woman in glasses shows the boy pictures of birds in a book. Then, birdwatchers gaze skyward. Singer.
With this last verse, I'll tell you why I'm leaving. A good evening to all. A good evening to all. Tomorrow and today, and up and up. Up and up and up they go. To the flowering hills. To the flowering hills. That's where I'll take you. That's where I'll take you.
A raptor circles above. A yellow-breasted bird clings to an upright branch. A gray bird glances around. In the dense forest of the Los Tuxtlas Biosphere Reserve, a mustached man, Braulio Malaga, bird monitor and guide, gazes upward through binoculars.
After the migration, some of the birds stay. They stay a little longer because they find refuge. They find food. Sometimes they're perching and performing the same daily activities on the same perch in the same area.
Braulio trudges through the forest along a dirt road.
When I went to the U.S., I crossed the border at Piedras Negras, but I went through the bush. It wasn't really desert. On my way back, I used the same route as the raptors down the Gulf Coast region, and I made it here. That was the good part. The same thing happened to me as to the birds when they're successful. My family is here, my children, and I've had success here as a human being. I think it's the same with the birds. They have to return to their perch.
Braulio continues along the dirt road through a clearing. Sunlight shines on the trees ahead. Gray clouds loom over the forest canopy in the distance. Green leaves cover the surrounding land. The dense foliage over a nearby hill lies shaded by low-hanging cloud cover. A bird of prey soars through the sky. Singer.
A goldfinch at dawn sang on a tamarind tree. on a tamarind tree, a goldfinch at dawn. A goldfinch at dawn sang on a tamarind tree. Sang on a tamarind tree, a goldfinch at dawn. Now, what does it want from me? Embrace me, lovely sky. Embrace me, lovely sky. Don't leave me waiting. And now that you love me, embrace me, lovely sky. Embrace me, lovely sky. Don't leave me wanting. Calendar of love, Parikatu. You fly among the flowers, the wind and the light. You are my beautiful affection, and I am your bird. Bring your mouth over here and we'll kiss.
Credits. Supervising unit producer, Marta Nunez Puerto. Consulting producer, Bruni Boris. Edited by Javier Campos. Story by Otilia Portillo Padua. Director of photography, Emilio Valdez. Nature photography, Miguel Angel Cecilia. Post-production supervisor, Ariel Gordon. Sound designer, Alejandro de Icaza. Production sound mixer, Pablo Temez Sierra. With the participation of, in order of appearance, Richard Moore, Mark Howard Conway, Alicia Cavazos, Jessica Castillo, Laura Garcia Robinson, Keith W. Hackland, Brian Miller, Christopher Birchfield, John Anthony Kay, Gloria Alvarado, Joaquin Galindo Alvarado, Catalina Galindo Alvarado, Richard Galindo, Gabriela Galindo Alvarado, Madeline Sandifer, Joyce Hamilton, Juana Magdali Dapa Morales, Melina Guadalupe Colorado Dapa, Joaquin Guadalupe Cepeda Martinez, Jose del Carmen Colorado Lara, Esteban Barones Benitez, Diane Espinoza Corona, Sam Henderson, Cynthia Lopez Vasquez, Angel Peña Lobato, Adrian Cipres Chavez, Robert Straub, Pamela Marie Pritzel, Joshua Rayson, Braulia Malaga. This film was supported by a grant from the Sundance Institute Documentary Program. Logo, Sundance Institute. Trademark and copyright 2019 Netflix Worldwide Entertainment, LLC. All rights reserved. Netflix Studios, LLC is the author of this motion picture for the purpose of copyright and other laws.
A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.